Are you excited about this time of year?
Amen.
I tell you what, I've been off on this week and just getting some downtime and just enjoying some vacation time. And I tell you, he's just been excited. He's been counting down. He told the first day of September, he said, "Dad, there's only 24 more days till Christmas." The first day he was counting down. He's excited. And so there must be something going on at school too, because, you know, it's just things, the crafts, everything they're starting to do in the schoolrooms and the classrooms. And see, this is an opportunity. And that's where, and go back to mention, Terry made some remarks about prosperity. A lot of times you can get on the ditch on one area, or you can get on the ditch on the other side of the area here, on whatever you're focusing on. But we got to find the pathway that goes down the middle. We got to stay in the middle of the road. Amen. And because there's Christmas time is a time to focus on Christ. Christmas. Christmas. And it's so easy to get focused on all these other things. And it's not that we can't take them and let it benefit the Christmas story, but we never can put him out of it. Because if he's not in it, it ain't Christmas. Amen. He's got to be in it. He's got to be the focal point. And that's what this whole, our whole Christian foundation hinges on, is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And no matter what the world does or tries to do with Christmas, try to take it out as far as the word, out of school, out of courthouse, say what they may, his word is going to be fulfilled. His word lives on the inside of us. We're a walking testimony. We're a walking Bible in this earth. Amen? If you're a Christian. If they take our Bibles away, guess what? They can't, unless they take your heart out. Because we're not, this is God's word written to us, but we're not just reading it, we're putting it in our heart. Because if the word was taken away, if this book was taken away, that can't change a thing. But let's go over to the book of Luke. Dr. Luke. And it's amazing how Jesus picked his disciples. He picked a doctor, he picked a tax collector, fishermen, people that were just kind of like the norm. Wasn't this great doctor, this great theologian? Because a lot of times, they can't hear from God. Those people, you get in these positions of authority that you can't hear the word. But in the book of Luke, and I got a PowerPoint here. We're going to, this week and next week, and I know the children are preparing a special Christmas play for us this month too. But I want to take us through the book of Luke. I don't want to go through it fast, but we're going to go through it. But I've got some notes. But I'm going to read, and then we're going to talk, and we're just going to let Emmanuel, God with us, reveal himself in his word, maybe in a different way this season. But Luke was a man that liked to put things in order. He was an organizer. He was real organized. He had organization skills. Doctors need to be like that. They need to know where their tools are and the right tool. But let's start in the first verse here. And this is dedicated to Theophilus. It says, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand." Now, if you've got your Bible, I want you to open up your Bible. If you haven't got one, there's one in front of the pew, because I want you to go with me. But there's going to be some notes on the board too, but I want you to follow me in the Word. "Insomuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as though who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the Word delivered them to us, it seemed good." That's a good place right there. It just seemed good. When you start reading and thinking about the things of God, guess what? It seems good. "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding." And what Luke is talking about there is just having understanding of how everything was working and fashioning, and he's putting it together. Putting it in a good, orderly fashion. That's what Luke's doing. "I want to do this and put it together right, to write it to you, an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." See, he's heard something. Theophilus, this man that's in a high position, he had learned something. In Luke 1:1, note here, Many people had attempted to arrange an orderly fashion of the Lord's teachings. These eyewitnesses had been faithful in preserving the word, what they had witnessed, but Luke was not so much concerned about a religious theory. He tells the good news of those things which had been fulfilled. See, a lot of times you can read a story and it's kind of like it's just a story. Luke knew the man, experienced the Christ, the Messiah, and he knew him and he had something to tell. It wasn't just a story, it was a reality to Dr. Luke. And he said, I'm going to write it down in the right order that needs to be, that God was giving him, the Holy Spirit was impressing him. And he took it to Theophilus, Mr. Theophilus. Luke 1 and 3 says, the identity of Theophilus is unknown. Although this address shows he was a person of high rank, his name means a friend of God. God wants us to know we're his friends. See, Theophilus represented the world, a high-ranking position of authority. Luke took the gospel to him, the good news to him. See, you can have all this. At one time, Satan took Jesus on the pinnacle of a high temple and said, all these kingdoms is mine to give to you. You can have them all if you bow down and worship me. Jesus didn't fall for that line because he came from another place of authority, which was heaven itself. He had already seen all the kingdoms. Guess what? He created them. Amen? And he is now seated at that position of authority. Wait a minute, I'm getting away from it. We're talking about his birth. But that's where he came from. I came from Mama Margie there. But before I came through her, I came from heaven. Because I was a spirit. We just didn't happen. We came from somebody. From some deity. His name is Jehovah. Jehovah God. Let's go on here. Luke 4. Or Luke 5. This is the John's birth announced to Zacharias. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. Let's stop right there. Let's look at Luke 1 and 5. The Herod that's referred to here was Herod the Great. He had the title King of Judea, conferred on him in 37 BC by the Roman Senate. Herod the Great was the one who slaughtered the infants in Bethlehem that were 2 years old and under. So Herod might have been great, but he wasn't great in God's eyes because he wasn't a righteous king. In Luke 1 and 7, Elizabeth and Zacharias, she was barren, could not have children. The Jewish tradition or the Jewish teaching was that in 1:7, the Jews considered if you had children, you were pleasing to God. But if you were barren, that you were not pleasing to God. But that's not true. And we can find it here in the scripture. Because verse 6 says that Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous. Before who? Before God. Righteous means I have right standing with God. See, a lot of times, stories and things that are passed on are not always the right story, the truth. But God, if he calls us righteous, we're righteous. Amen? We go all the way back to the beginning. God's purpose in the beginning was that we'd be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So that's a blessing, to be fruitful. Amen? So to be barren is not a blessing. So it's not pleasing to God. But what pleases God? Faith pleases God. Zacharias and Elizabeth They were faith, men and women of faith, because they were in the Word continuously. Blameless, walked before the Lord blameless. All that they knew to do, all that they had been instructed to do, they did. Amen? And that's all God's asking us to do. We actually have a better covenant. What must we do to do the works of God? Believe. Just believe on Him who God sent, Jesus. Let's carry on here a little bit. Verse 7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. Verse 9, verse 8, so it was that while he was serving, talking about Zacharias, was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, verse 9, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, appeared to Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Just get a picture. I'm sitting here just in the temple, burning incense to the Lord, praying to the Lord. An angel appeared on the right side of that incense, table of incense. We're talking about one that's about 9 foot, 8, 9 foot tall. I'm about 6'1". About 3 foot higher than me. That's a sight. Amen. That'll straighten out. If your hair's curled up, that'll straighten it out real quick. Real quick. And he appeared. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. You know, if somebody's just telling you they see an angel, there should be a little bit. Sometimes, I mean, if they don't really have a strong foundation with the Lord, you're going to be troubled. Because it's going to be something you don't see every day. And the trouble is, it's not a bad trouble. It's just I don't see this. It's like, wow. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid." That's the angels you want to be around. The ones that tell you not to be afraid. There's some demonic angels, they have a spirit of fear and they want it in you. This angel said, "Be not afraid, Zacharias, for the prayer is heard." You've been praying, you think your prayers ain't heard. Guess what? God hears your prayers. In the Old Testament, He had sent angels sometimes to let you know your prayer has been heard because you didn't have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you to say, "I'm with you." Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Wouldn't you think Elizabeth needed to be on the inside to be hearing this? She was the one that was barren. You would think, well, God, why ain't the angel going talking to Elizabeth? For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, verse 15, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. This angel's got a word to deliver. He will go also before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I think I'd had to have my notebook out. This was a word from God sent by an angel, the angel Gabriel. Luke 1 and 9, taking you back here a little bit, a priest, Zacharias was a priest. A priest could have the privilege of burning incense only once in a lifetime. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Zacharias. This was special. This ain't something that just happened once a year as you went into the... It's only once in a lifetime this could happen to you. That you would have the honor of burning incense. Sometimes you think God ain't hearing your prayer. Those suddenlies, there's a lot of suddenlies in the Bible. Don't lose heart. Faint not. For if you faint not, you will reap in due season. Luke 1 and 13, when the angel talked to Zacharias, told him, "Be not afraid." And you shall bear a son and shall call his name John. The name John means the Lord has shown favor. I'm sure it was on Zechariah's face, the favor of the Lord. Thus, the purpose of John's birth was to herald the arrival of the Messiah, the gift of God's grace to us. Now, this is special. What if Zacharias decided, I ain't going to church today? This is the day I'm going to stay home, and I've been out a little bit too late. I'm just going to sleep in a little bit today. Look at what he would have missed. Look at what we would have missed. Now, we're talking about John the Baptist here coming. But, you know, God still, his word would have been fulfilled. But I'm just saying, throwing a little bit of how important it is to be in the house of God and doing what he's called us to do. Amen. He was a priest. This is what he was called to do. A certain time of the year, 1 week out of the year, or 2 weeks, it might have been 2 weeks out of the year, serving the Lord. Sometimes we think God's not seeing things that we do. He is. And he's putting it in his book. Luke 1:19. Well, I think I skipped a verse here. We're talking about after the angel had proclaimed that, verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man. And my wife, might as well say, she's an old woman too. How am I going to know this? In verse 19, and the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. He was more or less saying, Zacharias, you know who I am. You've heard about me. You've read about me probably in the scriptures. I am Gabriel. That word Gabriel means a mighty man of God. This is the angel that foretold the coming of the Messiah to Daniel back in the Old Testament, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. And according to traditional interpretation, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 said, this is the angel that's going to sound the trumpet when Christ returns. He is a mighty angel that works for Jehovah and for Jesus. Amen? And he had a message. He had something to deliver. UPS and FedEx, they're doing all they can this time of year, getting your package where it needs to go. Gabriel was doing all he could, fighting principalities and powers to get to Zacharias that day. It wasn't an easy task for him to get there because he had to come through the heavenlies that Satan and his demons actually have authority over the heavens of this earth. He had to fight through that to get to Zacharias. But he did it because he's mightier than them. But he still has a sword and he has to fight. And he showed up. Let's flip on over here. In verse 20, but behold, this is Gabriel saying, but behold, Zacharias, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. When God sends his word from heaven through a messenger of an angel, it will be fulfilled. It has a mandate. Jesus would be born in this earth. John the Baptist would be born in this earth because God's word will not return to him void. It will go, the Bible says, and it will accomplish thereto where I've sent it. And there will be fruit. Now, if we can be willing to that, or God will go to the next one. But he's going to get it done. John would have been born somewhere else. I'm just saying, God's word will be performed. Amen. Verse 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. You know, you'd be missed at Mr. C's Chicken down here if I kept you past 12:30. Or yours might be Captain Galley. Ours is El Velote sometimes. There's a lot of places we get traditions we go. Your waitress, if you're not there, they're looking for you. Where is he at? I got his table ready. Well, this is what happened to Zacharias. He's in church. He's been in there. I'm not sure how long they had to worship before the Lord, serve the Lord. But his time was up. Mama had chicken cooking. Where is Zacharias at? So they marveled. He went in there. He'd been in there so long. But when he came out, verse 22, he could not speak to them. But he could speak before he went in. The man could hear and speak just fine before he went into the temple. But now he's coming out, he can't speak. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained. He's trying to talk, but guess what? Ain't nothing coming out. He doesn't know what's going on. You know, so there, whatever happened to him, he didn't even feel it in his natural body until he tried to speak, and there's nothing coming out. When I got anointed, when the Holy Spirit touched me 17, 18 years ago, a service I went to, I used to cuss pretty good. I wouldn't say like a sailor, because I've heard sailors cuss probably every other word. But I had a cussing on the inside of me. I grew in that. I heard it. It's a language. You know, you speak English. You've been around it. That's what I was around. It became a cussing to me. Jesus took it out of me. The Holy Spirit delivered me from it. Because the next day as I went out, what usually I would say, it changed. And I stepped back and I knew. Then I knew what God had did for me. It totally changed my vocabulary. This is what happened to Zacharias. That angel spoke him with deafness, and he couldn't speak. He was mute and deaf. And when he came out to speak to them, they perceived that he had seen a vision. Verse 22 and verse 23. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth, what happened? She conceived. And she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people." Nowhere in there do we read, or we know he couldn't speak. Zacharias didn't tell Elizabeth what happened. You know, he couldn't. I don't believe he would have if he could have, because he probably didn't believe it. If we don't believe something, guess what? We ain't going to say it. He couldn't say it. He couldn't even say what he didn't believe, which would have been unbelief. But guess what? It says Elizabeth conceived. The word of God came to pass. Yes. Zacharias is going to find out shortly. Because, you know, she hid herself. There's a certain time, ladies, when do we start to show? About 3 or 4 months? Y'all have to help me out there. I don't know about this. About three or four months, you start to show. Well, that ain't when it happened. Conception happened before that, right? Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, that same angel, was sent by God to a city called Galilee, named Nazareth, to a city in Nazareth around Galilee, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now see, Elizabeth was not a virgin. She was just barren. But God's word works on anything. Amen? It doesn't matter what your situation is. God's word can change it. Amen? Amen. Verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, here's Gabriel showing up again, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you, Maudie. Rejoice." Paul said, and again I say rejoice. He knew the Lord was with him too. That's what Terry said this morning. Sing unto the Lord a joyful song. The joy of the Lord. That's our strength. "Blessed is he, your favorite. The Lord is with you, Mary. And blessed are you among women." Guess what? She probably wasn't feeling blessed. She was probably having one of them days, one of them depressing days. Gabriel showed up and turned her darkness into light. "But when she saw him, she was troubled." Same thing with Zach. She was troubled too. "At his saying, and considered what kind of greeting was this? I don't feel blessed. Maybe Joseph hadn't been talking good to her that day. Maybe she just didn't feel like she was a blessing." It matters what we say to people, right? Amen. "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Not with me. Not with Joseph, not with your parents, not with the in-laws. Mary, Cecil, you got favor with God. That'll cause you to rejoice. Because she knew God. She knew the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And she knew what he was capable of. Amen? She had heard the stories, but she not only heard the story that Dr. Luke is telling, she believed the story. She believed the stories. Now, my mama, she's told me some stories. And I wasn't there, but I know Mama, and I believe those stories. Mary believed. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And what's his name going to be called, Terry? Jesus. We got John coming, and we got Jesus coming. We got a homecoming. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory. Amen. Help me now. There's a homecoming.
That's right.
We're going home one day. Mm-hmm. But if there's a home, we can experience homecoming today. Yes. We might as well just call this meeting today homecoming. Just put it on the calendar. Today is homecoming. Hallelujah. We got a homecoming coming. He will be great. Herod thought he was great, didn't he, Larry? Someone greater showing up, coming up, ain't he? He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over that house of Jacob, how long? Forever and ever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Because he is your beginning and he is your end. And we're right in the middle of everything with him. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Gabriel, I don't know a man. I don't have a relationship with a man. She knew she was engaged. And the angel said, I'm going to stop right there. Verse 34. Let me take you back a little bit. Luke 28. Let's go back here and look. Because this angel, Gabriel, is calling her blessed. Mary was surely blessed among women to be chosen the mother of Jesus. However, she was a sinner. We need to know these things. Mary also was a sinner herself, and she needed a Savior. You can go to Romans 3:23 right there. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Now, she was a virgin. She was highly blessed and favored, but she also was a sinner. Because all after Adam that have entered this earth by birth are of a sin nature. Amen? And that's the death nature. Jesus was deity. Jesus was God. Even though he was born of a woman, of Mary, who was not deity. She was born of her mother, flesh. Because God himself was Jesus' father. That made him different. That made him the only way, the only one, of the only son of God. That's important. We know that. Luke 31. When Gabriel told her that you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. The name Jesus in the Greek, it's the same equivalent for the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. He is. He is everything you need. That's what that name would represent. That's who he became. That's who he was. Our salvation. Going on over a little bit further. Luke 34. When Mary asked Gabriel, how can this be? This was a good question. If I was a woman, I probably would have asked the same thing. Joseph wasn't there. See, Mary was here this time and Joseph wasn't here. Zacharias, Elizabeth wasn't there, but the angel came to Zacharias. A little bit different there. But this was a good question. See, she asked Gabriel for information. It's okay to ask God things. If you lack wisdom, what? Ask God. He says ask. Don't think you know it all. If you know it all, we're ready for a fall. Don't think I know it all. I need to ask God. I'll seek Him, His wisdom. She asked for information, not because of unbelief, as Zacharias did. If Abraham had asked a similar question, guess what? There wouldn't have been an Ishmael. There would have just been Isaac. But see, he didn't talk to God about that. He talked to Sarah. Or Sarah actually talked to Abram. But see, Abram forgot to talk to God about that. See, God's about keeping things straight in our lives. He don't want us to go to a lot. He wants to keep us out of a lot of the messes that we get into. But if you've been here and you've heard Brother John Jenkins say, even if you get in a mess, God can take your mess and make a message out of it. Amen. Amen. He'll turn your frown upside down if you let Him. You've got to let Him. So that's a good question. It's okay to ask God questions. And Luke 35 is where I want to take us back to. And we probably might just finish up right here today. Just asking questions about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the one that we ask. And Jesus talks right to him and reveals. The Holy Spirit is here to manifest and reveal Jesus to us in this earth. Verse 35, Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, Gabriel? I don't know a man. I'm a virgin." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit," not Joseph, "the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now her sixth month. For she who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, didn't ask another question this time. Mary said to Gabriel, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary had a relationship with God on high that moment right then. In the twinkling of an eye, she just believed and conceived the Lord Jesus. Luke 1:35 that we just talked about. The conception of Jesus took place through the direct action of the Holy Spirit. Overshadowed. Overshadowed is the same word used for the cloud from which God spoke at the transfiguration on the mount. Remember the cloud? The Shekinah glory of God overshadowed them. Both uses of it refer to the cloud that manifested the glory of God. That glory, that same glory that was manifested back in the Old Testament to Moses, now was manifested to Mary in her womb. Touched by God. Conceived the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read that again. That's important. Verse 35 through 38. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, this Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now look here, he added, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son." We got to think, this is a hard saying. She received it. But this is not easy to receive. I'm gonna have God's Son on the inside of me. You need somebody to believe with you, to help you through this. You know, I helped my wife through four births. And I helped her very little. I was there to support and breathe. You know, Mary, Jesus is called the breath of heaven. I helped Sherry breathe a little bit. There comes to a point to where we can't do anything else. It's all up to mama. But you need that support. A woman needs that support. A man needs support. Mary needed the support of her cousin Elizabeth. They both were having miraculous things happen from God, from the Highest, from God the Highest. Jehovah. And they needed to be there for one another. Because nobody, if they would tell this to somebody else in the family, you're going to get the foot. You're going to get kicked out. You're going to be put in a ward somewhere. We call it a mental ward. Probably an asylum. But God had all this figured out. He had help. And he sent help. And he told Mary where you need to go. Or he didn't tell her. He just kind of hinted, your cousin's having the same experience here. You need to go talk to Elizabeth. Let's go through here a little bit. Verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah. Did she mention this to Joseph? Mm-mm. Zechariah didn't mention it to Elizabeth either. And she entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. This wasn't just an ordinary greeting. Verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just something about the Holy Spirit. He's there to fill you. Amen? And if He fills you, you're going to fulfill some things for God in your life. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Who said that? Elizabeth. Who else said that? Gabriel said that. How does she know? Elizabeth wasn't there. Yeah, but the Holy Spirit was. And He is the one that is speaking here through Elizabeth. And what is it doing? It's bringing faith to Mary. Amen. If you're listening, faith is coming right now. What you been believing God for some things? What has He said to you? What has He spoke to you in His Word? He sent Jesus. He sent the Holy Ghost. He sent people around you to encourage you. Just believe it. And then start rejoicing. And 43, but why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe on the inside of me leaped in my womb for joy. Verse 45, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from her from the Lord. They had an encounter with God. And they had the similar experiences. The same word, the word was confirmed there. That word of prophecy was confirmed. And it brought joy and it brought excitement. So in as much that the babe on the inside of her leaped for joy. God's word brings joy. Amen. It doesn't bring condemnation, death, and destruction. If it is, if you're hearing a message that God doesn't is not there to prosper you, what did John say? He said, beloved, I wish above all things, that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. He undoubtedly doesn't have a relationship with God that John had. I want the relationship with God that I'm hearing in these that causes me to jump for joy. Amen? And we had that experience. If you have received Christ in your life, you have had that experience, that born-again experience. And if you can't find anybody else to rejoice with you, Mark, what do? Just start singing to yourself. Songs and spiritual songs. I heard this brother singing this morning. It blessed me.
Amen.
Amen. Singing to the Lord a new song. I'm going to stop right there, but if you want to just keep on reading through the book of, for next Sunday, reading through the book of Luke here about the birth. After that happened, Mary and Elizabeth got to singing. They had a song to sing. They were singing words of prophecy. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to sing. I'm not going to sing this morning, but I about feel like singing. We've done some dancing here before. I don't know if Mama's seen me sing and dance before. She's probably seen me dance a little bit. But Mary had a song to sing because she had a Savior to bring. And that brought a song for her to sing. Hallelujah. And guess what? John the Baptist, as she was singing, he was leaping for joy in the womb. We learned as parents, first parents with Kelsey, that speaking and singing, right there as that baby has been in the womb, they hear it. And it brings joy and peace into that birth, into that conception, into that fulfillment of that birth. Well, we could go back, we could read that right in the Word right there. Dr. Luke probably knew that. He knew what the Spirit, how it could affect the flesh, being a doctor. He's seen a lot of things before Jesus showed up. Now he's starting to see a spiritual side that he just added to his practice. Amen? And you don't hear a lot about Luke doctoring on people. You hear him preaching the gospel. He's a doctor preaching the gospel. I bet as he was doctoring on them, he was telling them about Jesus. You know, I can't go but so far, Dr. Luke might be saying, but Jesus will take it from here. Amen? Because we know doctors, they can't heal our bodies. They just patch it up, do what they got to do. Jesus is our healer.
Amen.
We walk into the recovery room, we're recovering because He's there. He created that body to recover. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place today and in your people. Lord, that same Spirit that came upon Mary, Father, that overshadowed Mary, caused her to conceive in her womb and bring forth the Son of God, your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for that birth. We thank you, Lord, for that conception. We thank you, Lord, for Mary receiving your word. Father, I thank you for your people that have heard your word today, Lord, and they have received it. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you energize, you revitalize in your people today. You make their flesh come alive to the realization that they are born from above, that they have the life of God flowing on the inside of them. Holy Spirit, we thank you for manifesting the life of Christ in our bodies and in our future and in our minds, Lord, that we can see Jesus high and lifted up, cheering us on, telling us to go on. Get up if you've fallen. Get up and carry on with the race that I've called you to run. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this body and for the bright future that you have for each one of us here, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, can you say amen?